We had some very, very interesting discoveries with some of the brands we are working with, of some products that we didn't think that were going to be rented. With some brands, we rented underwear. Can you imagine that? Mm-hmm. Underwears?
My name is Patrick Hübscher, and this is Circularity FM, the podcast about understanding, building, and managing circular business models. Welcome to the third episode of PaaS Decoded, 16 conversations about the fine details of product as a service. In the last episode, Sütsche explained how HP scaled the HP Instant Ink proposition around the world. In today's episode, we will also reflect on the proposition, especially in the context of customer behavior. But we start by contrasting renting with secondhand and take-back scheme operations. She has a degree in engineering and sustainability management. She researched glacier temperatures, managed projects for climate change strategies and ecosystem services. More than 10 years ago, she launched TailMe, a renting service for children and pregnancy clothes. Afterwards, in 2019, she founded Lise, a circular platform for retail. Welcome, Anna.
Hi, Patrick. Thank you.
Anna, what was the last thing you rented?
Actually, it's clothes, because I rent a lot of clothes in Belgium, actually. So it was a shirt. So to be precise, white shirt.
Okay, cool. And how does your personal decision-making process look like? So when do you rent a product and when do you buy a product?
So I rent a product when I know that I'm going to use it not so much. It's very basic, but this is what I do. I rent a lot of clothes because I'm always having some important meetings, networking, events where I'm on stage, and I really love not to have the same outfits. And renting is a very good solution. I really love it. And I rent basic stuff, but in a very high quality. I love silk. I love linen, very high quality linen. So for me, it's very normal to rent this kind of outfits. Most of the time when you see me on stage, I have something that I rented. So yeah, and when I buy, of course, I need to be consistent. And when I buy, it's mostly secondhand. I barely buy new. Almost nothing, I guess, new. It's and secondhand when I know it's going to last a bit. But even my washing machine, I rent it. So you see, I don't buy so much.
Nice. It makes even me happy. And let's switch to the business side. You started Lise as a rental platform, if I'm not mistaken. And now it's more about circular retail in general. What's the difference for you and why did you make that change?
Yeah, so as you said at the beginning, I started my circular career as a rental because I was young and very, very optimistic about the world. And then I thought everyone were going to do like me. I mean, rent instead of buying and instead of accumulating stuff. But I was wrong, actually, because everybody is not ready to rent because it's really a big change. And it's understandable. You cannot change like that. It takes time. It takes a lot of marketing, sensibilization, also operations and logistics. So there is a big step between what I would like the world look like and what is the reality. But when you are young, you think you can change everything in a second. So I grew up and then I learned. I met a lot of people like you, some people really interesting with different views. And what I saw and what I see discussing to retailers, CEOs mainly, to have their own view of the business and being more in depth into a business plan and into financial goals. I really think now that we need to have a more systemic view of circular economy. I mean that this is not a mono solution that is going to make it grow, to make it available for everyone. So for me, because we are working with retailers, this is a world that I know the most. So people who sell stuff to other people. Mm-hmm. What I think is that in their own strategy, on their own path to circular economy. They will do omnicanal, what I say, it's an in-store circular economy, online circular economy, second-hand buyback, and also rental, short-term rental, long-term rental. It's really like now there are so many brands of everything. And I'm really pretty sure that in the close future, you will have a lot of way of using a product. Like you can buy it second hand and then resell it. But when you want, you have no pressure on the timing. Or you can be sure you are just only going to use it for a weekend, so you rent it for a short term. Or you want to test it, so you are going to rent it for a few months, but it's a contract you have with the brand. But yeah, I really truly believe that fortunately we are not the same. Not yet. But we are not the same. I hope so. Sorry, it's not going to happen. But so we have different needs. We have different needs as individual, but also in our lifetime. We are students. We are a family. We are alone. We have friends. Mm. We have so many needs in our lifetime. So as a retailer, you can have an only one-stop solution. It's not possible. And as you also say very well on your LinkedIn post, you don't have one solution for one retailer which have many kind of products with different weights, different materials, different complexity in terms of reparation and quality control. So yeah, it's complex. And I think this is the beauty of circularity. It's not simple. Sorry, but it's not simple. It's complex. But it's this way. It's so passionate because so many people can work on it and can create so many jobs to figure it out, figure every piece, and build this new circular economy. Of course.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Got it.
I hope it's clear because
you basically said that you have the second hand, you have a take back, you have short term and long term rental. Is there anything beyond that, and anything I was missing?
Yeah, this is exactly what you have. And you have in-store and online also a way of doing things. And for every brand, every retailers, the mix between all these business model will be different. You cannot copy a recipe from another brand to yours because actually you're not the same. And this is why you created another brand, because you don't want to be the same as your neighbor, and this is the same. So you will maybe do 55% of second hand, 10% of rental short term, and I don't know, 2% of long term. I don't know, but yeah, you need to create your own circular DNA. I'm really convinced about that, and you need the time, you need resources, you need people that help you on that. And I think some brands are really understood that very much. In Germany, we're working with Vode, so it helped me to pronounce it. And I really admire what they are doing, because we are working with them on second hand and rental, and they are doing also repairs, and they are creating their own stories on that. And it's very powerful and strong. And I think they are going to go very far with it, and they are really building the new way of doing retail for the next 20, 50 years, for sure. I'm sure in 50 years, you'll talk about Vode as an example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can see that. Let's look a bit at the, let's say, operations behind the scenes. So let's assume we have someone in mind who considers starting with renting and starting, for example, with take back scheme. If we look at the operations, where do you see some key differences between renting and take back scheme?
There are a few differences. So we started with rental, and with rental you will have back and forth 20 times, 30 times. And you need each time to do a quality control and to sort it regarding the quality, of course, and if it's need repairs, strong repairs. So for me, second hand is just one back and forth. And so that's why for us was very easy to go from rental to second hand, because we already had the operations. And the main goal and the main objectives and challenge is to make it profitable. Everyone is talking about that. Profitability, because of course, if you compare to manufacturing something new, for a lot of products, it's less expensive to make it new than to refurbish, which is a bit weird. But this is how it is now. So yeah, 100 years ago, also to manufacture stuff was really heavy, was long and complicated. And yeah, the quality was really high, but for some product, it was complicated. But then processes and industrial management and process operations came, and now it's super easy to manufacture a lot of products, which is part of the problem too. Huh? But just what I want to say is also circular economy is on this same path. So now for operations, it seems complicated and costly and not profitable, but like companies like Lisi, or we are a lot of people doing that now in the world, and which is very promising that we are really working on operations to make it efficient. And I'm really sure that doing second-hand, so buyback and rental, will be profitable in the next years. It's coming. Like, it's already profitable for some product categories, but it's going to be profitable for a lot of products in the coming years, which is a very, very good news, I think.
You said that for you, it was easy to go from renting to secondhand. How do you deal with the volume of product variants? So when let's stick to the example of shirts. Yeah, if I as a brand, as a retailer, say I start with 10 shirts and rent them out, I know that I only will get these 10 shirts back, and I only need to repair these 10 shirts. Whereas when I start with a take back scheme, I might get, I don't know, 100, 500, 2,000 shirts back. And yeah, some of them are just different and I have a different complexity in my operations. Is it something you see as well, and how to handle this difference?
Volume is something we need to manage, but this is something the industrial, operational, logistic world is really used to manage. Like, yeah. Volume is you have, if you type on Google, or if you look on some, if you do some research on volume logistic management, you have much more companies and article on that than on refurbishing operations. But so what I want to say,
it's also the variance. Yeah. So having 10 types of shirts and then 1,000 pieces per shirt per day is different than having 500 different shirts and then 10,000 pieces per shirt. So is it no difference?
Yeah, there is difference, of course. It's true. That's what I was saying before. We are all working on it right now to create this big database, because it's all about data and about to recognize very quickly what you have. What is like, there is all this recognition, say that, of
object
products.
Recognition.
That needs to be more and more efficient. And I really see that so many people are working on it right now, that this volume challenge is going to be tackled. But what I need to say, and I need to be honest, everything will not be treated back. Of course, there are some stuff that's poor quality, that we cannot treat it because it's a lot of money. So that's why some, at the end, recycling will be one of the solutions. That's why, just a parenthesis, when we oppose recycling and reuse and all this, we need all of this value chain. And this is what you said that on the intro, where I truly believe we cannot solve this circular economy scale just with one business model. We will need recycling at one point, because we produced so much, too much, that we need solutions like that. So as you said, volumes, data, we can solve this problem for a lot of products. There are so many already some companies working on that to do automatic recognition, to have big database where you can link to EAN and building that to make it easier, of course. But you will need to consider that at some point, some of the products need to be recycled, of course. Yeah. So it's a balance solution.
If we stick to the operations, one other aspect is the condition of the article. Is it both for heavy use, but also for subscription? Is it as new, or do you see traces of use? And if we look at the customer, and you said initially some customers are not ready yet, and they want to have a lot of information about the condition of the product before they either decide to buy it secondhand or rent it, do you see any difference between rental and secondhand there when it comes to identifying the condition of the product and then also making that transparent to the customer? Or is it the same between renting and secondhand?
Yeah, there is no difference. What I want to say here is, as you said the word, transparency. It's like the willingness to pay for something with all or something with, which you see it's used. But it's why Vinted exists. So I just bought some pants for my son with holes on it. But I paid it, I don't know, 20 euros. Because I know he's going to make more holes on it very soon. And it's for the weekend. He's doing roller. So that's why. But I know what I am paying. I know what I'm going to receive. That's why I'm using Vinted, which is it's Volcom, actually, because he loves Volcom. So he wants a Volcom. You know this brand, like Volcom, skater brand for young teenagers. Yeah. So he wants this brand, but the use I want as his mom him to have is with the hole on it, because I know he's going to destroy it very soon, doing roller on the street. So I'm ready to pay 20 euros for that. But in the other end, I went to Vestiaire Collective, which is much higher criteria, to buy no hole Volcom pen for him to go to school. But I'm going to pay 60 euros, something like that. But I'm ready to pay for that because I know what I'm going to receive. What I see is that with rental, we really had this experience with Decathlon where you could see it was used, but the price you were going to pay for it just for a weekend because you need it so much. You need a tent, a light tent to go for trekking just for the weekend, and you are going to pay 25 euros, 30 euros. You don't care if they're not like new. You really don't care. You want to sleep. Actually, in a good condition and not have a heavy bag, so you are okay for that. But if you are going to go to a wedding and you are on the first line of the wedding and you are going to be on every photos, you need an outfit which is perfect. So you are ready to pay 100 euro for that. So for me, transparency is key, willingness to pay, and so what is technology and operations on one end, and it's very deep marketing and understand of your customers in on the other end, and then you fit the both. And this is what we have some lack of understanding of customers right now. What do they really want? How do they use products? In which, as I said, in which circumstances do they need and use products? So there is a lot of jobs for circular marketers, I would say, or customer behaviors studies here, because we need that to know which price people are ready to pay.
Let's stick to the marketing side and the difference between rental and secondhand. Are there any obvious circumstances where you say in that situation you should do secondhand, or in that situation you should do rental? For the customer,
It depends really on the way of living. But you have some people that have the way of living for renting, and some people that have the way of living for secondhand. Yeah, I mean, you will be very surprised that so many people rent cars like Mercedes or BMW just to show off during weekend. It exists a lot, but they invest time to do that because it brings them some joy or some kind of happiness, of course. But they invest time on that because you need to go to the station and to rent it and, you know, to do all the papers and then to go back on the Sunday. And some people are just going to buy second hand for other reasons because they don't have this the same way of living. I don't know if it's very subtle for me, the difference, but and this is also showing that we have a lack of studies on customers' behaviors between secondhand and rental. And yeah, of course, it's a way of living of people, but it's also, yeah, the product itself for me can be either rented or sold secondhand. For me, every product can be both, and it depends on the customers. Mm-hmm. I really repeat that all the time.
Okay.
But yeah, it's very subtle. And now, yeah, I could discuss about it for a long time, but we don't have time for that. But there are so many examples where you could have the example for the rental and the counter example for the secondhand and vice versa for every product.
Yeah.
So yeah, if, I'm sure some student could do this kind of studies, very interesting studies on products and secondhand versus rental.
So yeah, what you're basically saying is it's not so much the product itself, or at least not only, it's always in combination with the needs of the customers or their lifestyle and the beliefs of the customer. Is there also a combination?
I
think, for example, let's stick to the cars. So there are people who have the rental lifestyle over the weekend for cars. And then when it comes to, let's say, construction power tools, drilling machines and some special equipment, they might have the secondhand lifestyle where they say, okay, I buy it secondhand and 2 weeks or 2 months after I used it, I'm ready to sell it secondhand. So is it that really specific to the person and then independent of the product, or can the same person also have in one area a rental lifestyle and in another area the secondhand lifestyle?
Yeah, that's why it's so open. It's such an open topic, and it's mm-hmm. fascinating because, as you said, it's not linked to the person. It's linked to his lifestyle and his needs at a specific time or his environmental setup. Of course, it's linked to a lot of criterias that, I never read any studies about that, never. And I'm sure there is something mm-hmm. to do on personas. Of course, this is basic marketing studies, and we should learn to the student now that there are many mm-hmm. new ways of spending money, so many new ways of selling an experience to someone. Because it's experience, actually. All that mm-hmm. is experience. When you are building your house and you are going to resell the product, you are going to build something with your hands and you need it and you want to save money. I don't know what your needs behind it. Maybe you want to prove something to someone, or there's so many ways of this, but you need the product only for a few weeks and you don't know how long it will take to you. There is also this on your life. You don't know if you are super efficient and you know yourself perfectly. You say, I just need it for a weekend because I'm so good at it and I'm going to do all the work for the weekend. So you are going to rent. But if you say, I need to learn how to fix this and this, so I don't know if I am going to be to be good enough, so you are going to buy second hand because in a lifetime you don't know. Or you are going to rent with subscription. You see. And we are just at the beginning of the understanding on that. It's very passionate what's going on right now.
yeah, absolutely. Do we have the same, variance on the company side? So that there are, different strategies and different goals of company side where it's a good fit for circular strategies, whereas some companies might say, no, this is not for me. What I have in mind is, fast fashion. Do you see a overlap of a fast fashion strategy with a circular strategy? Does that exist? Or is it also that companies need to make a choice what direction they want to go?
It's very metaphysic questions, because when I'm thinking about that, companies, they have to play the game. We are all in the same game right now. So they have to be part of it. And so they have to make choice, as you say. They have to truly have the vision of what they want to be in the next 10 years. I do not see non-compatibility between fast fashion and circular economy. You see, for me, if you are a strong leader of a fast fashion company and you have a clear vision of, in 10 years, I'm going to be here and I have to tackle the stock management, for example, because this is about that. They produce so much. I have to tackle this topic. Could be with a mix of secondhand recycling and new product. But they can tackle this, but they are going to change. Of course, they're going to change, but if they have a plan, they're going to start somewhere. The fast fashion, as we know it now, is going, hopefully, disappear. But to have access to clothes at a very low price is not going to disappear. But it's going to be done differently. And strong fast fashion leaders, I know some of them, unfortunately, are starting to think about that. In 10 years, people are going to spend the same amount of money and they are going to have the same, I don't know what would be the social media in 10 years, but the same TikTok video which is going to exist in 10 years, but with the same outfits and same number of likes. But behind the scene, it would be different. The operation will be different. And yeah, I don't have a crystal ball. I don't know. I have some ideas, of course, but it would be a mix of our business model that will be very clever and really, really well done. Of course, we are going to use AI, but it's a tool. It's a tool, okay?
Yeah.
We are going to use blockchain. We are going to use so many tools we have now with us. We are going to use, and I'm really focused also on all social aspects of circular economy. You can recreate jobs locally. There are so many ways of doing it right now when you mix up technology and social stakes. We are on it, and that's why it's so exciting where we are right now. So exciting. We are building it. Yeah, I'm really looking forward if what I said right now is going to be true in 10 years. So let's talk about 10 years again.
Yeah, I will send you. Yeah, I will send you a meeting invite for in 10 years, and then we can listen to the conversation again. Yeah, and I have three final questions. I want to ask them to all of the 15 guests of this product as a service series. The first question is, what is the main thing you need to make sure as a brand or as a retailer before you start a renting proposition?
Yeah, do not overthink it first. Because as I said, we do not know how people are going to react. No, but it's really true. We had some very, very interesting discoveries with some of the brands we are working with, of some products that we didn't think that were going to be rented. With some brands, we rented underwear. Can you imagine that? Mm-hmm. Underwears?
That's a
surprise. I know. I see your face. Surprise, but actually it was for pregnancy. Yeah, and we tested it twice. It worked because there is a need. And so that's why these are some very interesting examples. Or another example is that some people are spending more money by renting than they could have spent if they would have bought it, which is something that in a capitalistic mind is really not working. Like if you have done a commerce school, like a financial school, for you, it's like brain, it's not working. But we proved it. This is the case. Some people, and I am the first one, I spend more money now on clothes than I was doing it before. So, yeah, so people spend more money. So that's why it's very interesting. And I always give the example of hotels. So sheets, you really sleep on rented sheets, linen, but you never think about this. But it's super intimate. Like it's really close to your body. You trust it. You trust the brand. You trust the hotel or whatever, and you trust the stars. Also, there is all the label around it. It's very constructed, and you trust it. So that's where I see the future of circular economy. So the brands need to ask the question: I am trustable for my customers. For example, Decathlon is super trustable. Like people trust brand so much that they can rent sleeping bags, no problem, because people trust them so much. So am I the one in the market that can be trustable enough? And then if you are trustable enough, you can rent underwear. This is what they need to ask first question. So you're not going to rent something we are not trustable on, of course, because it's our DNA. So, which is a very good news. Continue to do what you are good at, but change your business model.
Great. The second question is also about the future. What are the significant trends in circular renting for the next 5 years?
Yeah, as I said, when I was 20, 25, I was so sure about it. Yeah, 10 years after, I'm not so sure about it. Yeah, I'm sure it's going to be multiple. Yeah, it's true. So when you grow up, I'm not so sure about which circular model. I'm sure it's going to be a mix, as I said. It's going to be a mix of business model. And it's going to be relied a lot on our capacity to rethink completely the value chain. We have to break some stuff. Yeah, we have to the courage to have the courage to break some stuff. This is how it's working. Life is working like that. You break stuff and you rebuild. So, yeah. What I see is that there will be some major brands, some major retailers, which are going to do massive circular stuff. I'm sure about that because we start to see which one are going to do it. And some people are going to say, wow, okay, why? How I was doing before, it's like Spotify or Deezer. Spotify, you were like, how I was doing before. Now I can listen whatever I want when I want. Before, I had to think about it and to I had to go to buy a CD. I'm sure that in 10 years will be the same. And some brands, some new brands, some new retailers are starting this way. And we will have the Spotify of circular economy in 10 years. Again, we will need to do this invitation in 10 years to see if...
Good one. And then a last question, a bit more about today. So Circularity FM is about sharing knowledge and also connecting people, also connecting the people who are listening. Maybe you have milestones you want to reach or opportunities you want to unlock these days. I'm pretty sure you have. Who should get in contact with you? Whom are you looking for to collaborate or support?
I'm looking for circular, enthusiastic people. Yeah, I truly believe there are some leaders, retailers or brands, which is really interesting to speak to with them. Of course, circular, enthusiastic, and I know some of them already. And that's so nice, give me so much energy. But you have also some people on, as I said, on the marketing side, on the university side also, that are really enthusiastic about this and think about many, many ways of changing everything, which is really super good. So I love circular enthusiastic persons which are specialized in a topic and they want to see it on the circular point of view, because give us so many new thoughts and we can integrate it to the process, to the operational and the industrial process. But for me, everyone which have new ideas, new thoughts about it, I would be very pleased to talk to, because I don't have so much time, but I take the time. It takes the time. I really try, because for me, it gives me so much energy to do it. And we can open so much opportunities. And this is, we build a new economy when you connect people, like you say, when you connect the dots.
So if that sounds like you, then don't wait for 10 years and reach out to Anna immediately. Yeah. Thanks a lot, Anna.
Thank you, Patrick. Thank you. It was very interesting.
This was the third episode of PaaS Decoded, 16 conversations about the fine details of product as a service. If you liked it, share this episode with colleagues or on social media. If you missed a question or topic, please send me an email so I can improve the conversations for you. If you learned something from this episode, please provide a review via Spotify or Apple Podcasts. That helps others to discover the podcast. And don't forget, the most abundant renewable resource is your imagination. My name is Patrick Hübscher, and this is Circularity FM, the podcast about understanding, building, and managing circular business models.